It's time for Senior Talk with Carol Higgins Taylor, a show designed with seniors in mind. Carol discusses everything from Social Security to senior housing, medication to Medicare, and so much more. And now, your award-winning host, Carol Higgins Taylor.
Hi, and thank you for joining me today for this edition of Senior Talk. We are going to be discussing common eye issues that many people, especially older adults, have. I'm very excited. My guest today is Dr. Cynthia Self. She is a board-certified ophthalmologist with training in cornea, external disease, and refractive surgery. Special areas of interest include cataract and cornea surgery in adults and children, the management of corneal diseases, diabetic eye care, and laser surgery. She practices at Eastern Maine Eye Associates in Bangor. Hi, Dr. Self. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Hi, Carol. Thank you so much. It's been a few years since I've been on your show, and I'm happy to come back and give people some updated news.
Well, I'm very happy to have you back. You know, eye conditions can be very scary, and older adults seem to have them. There's so many of them, and we see more ads on television today for the new drugs, and we'll get into that, that can help with certain eye conditions. So let's start off with talking about the most common eye issues that older people have, what they are, and if someone doesn't have them yet, can they be prevented?
Absolutely. As we all get a little bit older, I like to say, definitely just like all the body parts change, you know, the eyes are definitely part of that. When we all get to be about 40 or 45, we all start to need glasses, especially reading glasses. That's a very normal aging change. You can almost just go by somebody's birth date and tell how that is affecting their life. And that is because of aging changes of the lens in the eye, which helps us focus. When we're young, the lens is healthy and pliable, and the little muscles that focus can move our focal point in and out easily. As we get older, the lens gets stiffer, and the little muscles are still pulling, but they can't quite bring the focus up. So we start pushing things out and having trouble reading. And that leads to reading glasses. And that same process continues with the lens of the eye with exposure to normal sunlight, UV light, until we're in our 60s, 70s, 80s, and the lens gets hazy. And that is when we name it a cataract. And cataracts, again, are a normal aging change that we all get, and they lead to blurred vision, and it's the most commonly performed surgery in the United States, cataract surgery. Also, other age-related diseases, a main one that we see that damages vision is glaucoma. Glaucoma is a disease that bothers the peripheral vision, and the tough part about glaucoma is that it has very few symptoms until it's quite late. And it's one of the leading causes of blindness in the United States. And so eye doctors, we are very serious about having people in for regular eye exams so that we can screen for glaucoma, look for risk factors, and look for any damage that's going on.
Having the ability to go to any drugstore or supermarket and buy the reading glasses, while that's a really wonderful thing, do you think that that prevents people sometimes from having more regular eye exams because now they're able to read, they're seeing better, so they just think, well, I don't need to go because I have these readers?
That is very, very true. The reading glasses are available from everywhere, from the big box stores, pharmacies, discount stores, almost anywhere you see the racks of glasses. And you're right, that can help people to see and then, you know, cause them to feel comforted and not go in for an eye exam. However, we do like people to have a baseline eye exam around the age of 40. And if their eyes are healthy, every 3 to 5 years until they're about 60, and then at least every 2 years after age 60. But if there are diseases present or risk factors for disease, we usually see most people, I would say, yearly after age 60 or 65. So I would love to encourage the listeners out there. If you haven't had an eye exam, please call an optometrist or an ophthalmologist. Those are the eye doctors to get a basic adult eye exam. And even if you can't get in for a while, go ahead and make that appointment and commit to that so we can help you keep your vision and keep it as good as possible for the rest of your life.
Since you mentioned both, will you describe the difference between an optometrist and an ophthalmologist?
Absolutely. So an optometrist is a doctor of optometry. The letters behind their name are OD, optometric doctor. And they have studied typically at a college for 4 years and then at a graduate school of optometry for 4 years. And they graduate with the OD or optometric doctor degree. I would say they mainly see people for glasses, contact lenses, and eye screening exams, looking for diseases, screening for diseases. In contrast, an ophthalmologist is an MD, a medical doctor, or a DO, doctor of osteopathy, who has gone through 4 years of college, 4 years of medical school, and 4 years of residency training, and then optional fellowship training as well. And the MDs and DOs are more specialized in medicine and surgery of the eyes. They can also do what we call refractions, which is the exam for glasses. But most of the time, there is so much medical and surgical that they have to focus on that. So there is a difference. And if people have eye diseases, their optometrist might follow them for a period and then might recommend that they go to an ophthalmologist. And an ophthalmologist who's seeing people might say, oh, you have this refractive issue or you need contacts, I'm going to get you in with an optometrist. So there's a lot of good working together, collaborating, and there is some overlap. But in general, ophthalmologists, we tend to do more of the medical surgical, the people who have a little bit worse disease states, who need surgery or follow up after surgery, that kind of thing.
For people who are on Medicare and maybe they have a Medicare Advantage plan, maybe they don't, but paying for this is always an issue. You mentioned something in the pre-show about the American Academy of Ophthalmology's Eye Care America program. If someone's listening and thinking, I really should see an eye doctor, but I don't think my insurance covers it, what can they do?
Absolutely. Yes, the American Academy of Ophthalmology has had the Eye Care America program since 1985. It's one of the largest public service health programs in the country. And there is a website and a phone number that people can get in touch with. It's eyecareamerica@aao.org. Or the phone is toll-free 877-887-6327. And they are on the West Coast. So their hours are, Eastern time, are 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Friday. And they will do a simple screening test as far as looking at eligibility, the person's ability to pay, and whatever the person's ability to pay, they will get them in with an Eye Care America, a volunteer ophthalmologist for an eye exam, and to ascertain what kind of care the patient needs and to help them get that care. And so even if you're not sure, go ahead and try to contact Eye Care America and see if you qualify, because we don't want there to be any barriers for people to get their eye exam, get their screening, get things taken care of. So we're very passionate about that program.
That is an incredibly beneficial program, and I didn't know anything about it before this, so that's terrific. The number to call again is 1-877-887-6327. I'll be giving that number again, so get a pencil. If you want to reach out to me, if you missed anything, yourseniortalk@gmail.com. Yourseniortalk@gmail.com. Stay with us. We will be right back. There's lots more to come with Dr. Self. Hi, we're back with Senior Talk, discussing eye care with Dr. Cynthia Self of Eastern Maine Eye Associates right here in Bangor. So let's talk about some of these conditions that you mentioned. If someone doesn't have them yet, is mm-hmm. there a way to prevent them? Can they do things to make their eyes healthier so that maybe they don't get cataracts or glaucoma or something?
Okay, so that's a great question. We love prevention, of course. Doctors love prevention. So let's talk about cataracts first. So there have been a number of studies, really, really good studies, looking at everything from sunglasses, glasses, vitamins, all kinds of things. And there is nothing we can really do to prevent cataracts or to change the course of our how we're going to develop cataracts. A lot of it is genetic, like when did our parents develop cataracts, what age? And one small thing we can control is just not having trauma to the eyes, for instance, engaging in dangerous things like boxing or something like that. But most people wouldn't even dream of that. So, but there's really nothing a person can do to slow down or delay cataracts. That being said, there are some things that accelerate cataracts. For instance, uncontrolled diabetes, uncontrolled blood sugar, the sugar in the blood, the lens of our eye loves to take that up out of the blood, and water follows that sugar into the lens, and it causes the lens to swell, and that can throw off a person's focusing. And this chronic sugar and water coming into the lens accelerates cataract formation. So if you're a diabetic, that's another great reason to have good blood sugar control, working with your doctor and their recommendations on that. And there are no vitamins that can slow down or stop cataracts. That being said, there's a lot of research in this area, and I do hope that something comes about in this area, probably will in the future, but right now there's nothing that truly works. For glaucoma, that's also, there's a lot of genetic components of glaucoma. People of Black or Hispanic descent have a higher risk for glaucoma. And so it is even more important for those minorities to have regular eye exams and get checked and ask their family about family history of glaucoma. But another proactive step that we can all do for glaucoma is when we sleep, it's important to not sleep with our eye, with having pressure on our eye. For instance, if we sleep on our side or our stomach, we really have to turn our head and have the pillow back behind the temple area so that the pillow doesn't put any force on the eyeball, because that will transmit pressure to the eye, and pressure on the eye is a direct cause of glaucoma. So if you are a side or stomach sleeper, try to be aware of that. If you don't think you can stay off of your eye, having it on the pillow, over the counter, you can purchase an eye shield that can be taped over the eye, and that rests on the bones of the socket and the nose. And so even if you lay right on that, it's rigid, so it won't allow the pressure to be transmitted through to the eye. So that's very important if you have glaucoma or if you're trying to avoid it, to not lay on your eye. And as far as macular degeneration, another common age-related eye disease, the best thing to do is to not smoke. Smoking is the number one kind of a variable that a person can control for their future for avoiding macular degeneration. not only smoking, but secondhand smoke. Avoid being around secondhand smoke as well. Besides that, we do feel like the UV light over our lifetime is what causes age-related macular degeneration. And so if you're outdoors trying to wear sunglasses or regular glasses, which also block UV light, that'd be very, very important for slowing down macular degeneration. And macular degeneration also responds well to nutrition. If we, for our whole lifetime, if we eat lots of fruits and veggies of all the different colors, but especially dark green, thing for broccoli, lettuces, kale, Brussels sprouts, all of that, the eyes absolutely love that. And also the big thing for all these diseases, of course, is screening to look at risk factors and to look at where we are in these disease processes. Age-related macular degeneration, just like cataracts, it's pretty much 100% that you're going to get it if you live long enough. There was a big study done on people who were 100 years old or older, and they managed to round up over 2,000. 100% of them had age-related macular degeneration. So we know it's purely age related. Everyone will get it. But again, avoid smoking and the secondhand smoke.
Can you take, there are medications, more vitamin supplements on the market that specifically talk about this. Do those work? Should someone be taking those? Should they take them now preemptively, or should they wait until they have a diagnosis? And do they work at all?
Okay, great. Thank you for bringing that up. Yes. The National Institute of Health has done a very, very large ongoing study for decades that has looked at eye vitamin supplementation and the development of macular degeneration. And they've outlined very specific findings for specific recommendations. So the eye vitamins, a person with a clean eye exam gets no benefit from the eye vitamins. They get the benefit from having the nutrition that we talked about with the fruits and veggies of all different colors. However, a person has to have a very specific set of findings and a diagnosis for the eye vitamins to actually make a difference. And there's a specific formula called AREDS, or the Age-Related Eye Disease Study Vitamins. So if you see a shelf full of eye vitamins, just look for any wording that says AREDS, AREDS, and you'll know that you're getting the actual formula that showed the best results in the studies. It's a combination of vitamins A, C, E, zinc, and copper. And the later formulations have also included some lutein and zeaxanthin, but just look for those letters on the product. But again, make sure you have that specific diagnosis and the recommendation to take the vitamins. Otherwise, it's just a waste of money.
Okay. That sounds good, because I was thinking I myself would be running to the pharmacy and getting these vitamins. So going to take a break. We're going to take a break. And when we come back, we will talk more with Dr. Self. That number to call if you want to find out about helping to get your eye care paid for, it's Eye Care America, 1-877-887-6327. We'll be right back. Stay with us. Hi, Rebecca, Senior Talk, Dr. Self. So we discussed the sleeping and not putting so much pressure on your eye with the pillow. Right. What about eye hygiene? I was told by an eye doctor a while ago, get little little eye scrubby, lid scrubbies, and to clean the eyes. Mm-hmm. Is that really important? And can you use baby shampoo instead of buying these little eye scrub pads?
Yes, daily eyelid hygiene is very important. When we're young, most of us, you know, we heard, don't get soap in your eyes, don't get soap near your eyes. And if you look at any cosmetic commercials, when they apply facial cleanser, they apply it way around the face and the cheeks, and they completely avoid the eyes. However, just like every other part of our body, the eyes and eyelids need hygiene because oils and dead skin cells build up and they form a barrier for normal eye glands to flow and to put moisture onto the eye at the edge of the eyelid. So I would like everybody once or twice a day, whenever you wash your face, to use some soapy lather and just for a few seconds, wash your lids and lashes, bristle your lashes with your fingers, make sure you're really cleaning the base. If you squint your eyes up too tight, you won't be getting the base of the lashes and getting those dead skin cells and crusties off. And then rinse really quick before the soap gets in your eyes. You can use dilute baby shampoo. I would just put a couple of drops in your hand, lots of water, just make a thin lather. It's not the shampoo or the soap that's treating it. It's just the mechanical scrubbing and getting the lather on there, because lather breaks down oils and gets them off. The eyelid wipes are good because they are a very easy reminder to clean our eyes, but they do have an associated cost. So I feel like any mild soap that you would use on your face, including a little bit of baby shampoo, is fine. Some people like non-soap cleansers. Like, I'll just say a couple of names just because I know them and I want to inform the listeners. Cetaphil and CeraVe make gentle cleansers. Just make sure you don't buy the lotion. Make sure it says gentle cleanser. And again, just a little product, a lot of water, and wash the eyelids at least once or twice a day. If you don't, there can be chronic changes of the ocular surface, dry eye, eyelids turning out or turning in, requiring surgery, and tearing, burning, and stinging. A lot of little symptoms, but they build up and they cause chronic problems.
Okay, that's just terrifying. I just want...
I know, right?
So next stop is to go get the little wipes, because I did use the little box of pads, and they are wonderful. But, you know, you get lazy. I'll be much more diligent about that now. That is terrifying. And yeah, the baby shampoo is a cheaper option. But yes. And so let's talk about, we're almost out of time, but I want to talk about night driving. So many older adults, myself included, really struggle with driving at night now. And I don't know if the lights on oncoming cars are just that much brighter these days, or if it's our eyes. Or both?
Yes, there is a little bit of both. But the main thing that causes that is a slow, steady cataract formation. And when we drive at night, it's dark. So our pupils enlarge. And the lens of the eye, which when it's hazy, we call it the cataract, is right behind the pupil. So when as the pupil gets big, there's more light hitting those cataracts and glaring, especially those direct headlights. And the newer headlights that are super bright, the bluish ones, tend to be very intense, and they can just glare out your vision, cause big halos where a person cannot see the lines on the road, and they have to look away. So that is something that comes on with aging. Most of the time it's from cataracts. I'll give you an easy tip that you can try. If you turn on the map light in the car, it's the little light kind of right in between you and the passenger, right above your head. That can provide enough illumination in the car to shrink the pupils and to help cut down some of that glare. The big thing with that, though, is once you reach your destination, make sure to turn the light off so you don't run your battery down. Very important. But that can help people drive at night or dusk. It's a little trick that can help you and maybe get you somewhere feeling a little more safe, a little more confident.
We have like just a few seconds left, but I've heard that yellow lenses help with night driving. Is that true?
That is true. I would say a lot of people it helps, not everyone, but certainly very worth trying those yellow glasses. And just one last thing, Carol, before we have to go, I want to promote people 60 and older getting the shingles vaccine. It's very important. Shingles in the eye is extremely painful, and it can cause a lot of scarring and blurring that can be very chronic. Shingles on the skin is painful enough, but when it's in the eye, it's much worse. So do talk to your doctor, get the shingles vaccine series, and protect yourself.
Thank you. That's great advice. Dr. Self, I really appreciate you being here. Eastern Maine Eye Associates of Bangor. And one more time, that number to call if you need help paying for your eye exams, 1-877-887-6327. That's it for me. This is Senior Talk. Thank you so much for listening.
Thanks, Carol.